We warned our guest speaker that would happen. By the way, his name is Jerry, and you need to give him the same kind of stuff you give us, all right? Amen. I told Jerry and Rick, our guests today, that you all are the reward I get for being a good Baptist preacher for about 50 years. So just want you to know, we have some cards we're going to reference. If you don't have one, we've got some on the sides. You can probably pick them up on the way out the door, all right? That might be the easiest, neatest way to do it. Jerry Kirk is our speaker. I was telling Jerry I heard him in 1995 in Los Angeles at a prayer and fasting conference. And I don't remember all the speakers, but I remember you. And it's just interesting. I also told the early crowd he's the only guy I know that can pick up the phone and call Mother Teresa when she was alive. And tell us that story again, if you don't mind. So I just want you to know this guy has traveled literally the world, and he is probably the biggest named national speaker that Maywood's had in our building. He's a good friend of Joe Cal. You didn't know that, did you? Happens to be true. So this is Jerry, all right? And there you go.
Oh, goodness sake, am I glad to be here. And aren't you glad to be here? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That story with Mother Teresa, I was leading a conference of 300 to 400 leaders in Washington, D.C., coming from all over the world, I mean all over the United States, and 2 weeks before the conference, Mother Teresa became ill, and she was our keynote speaker. And so I knew people were coming from all over America to hear her, to see her, to hopefully greet her. And so I felt uncovered. Here, these people were coming, and she wasn't coming. So I called her up, and I asked her, Mother Teresa, could you tell us some of the things that you were going to say so that I could quote you at the beginning of our conference and people wouldn't feel so disappointed? And she told me a number of things. And she must have sensed I was a little nervous that she was not going to be there. And so she went on and said, I want you to know that I and my 270 novitiates will spend the entire day in prayer when I was to have spoken, so that God will give you much grace. And I was so humbled by that. And I said, oh, Mother Teresa, what could we pray for you? And her spontaneous response was that I not spoil God's work. And I want you to know I have prayed that in preparation for this message, that I not spoil God's work. I was 18 years of age. The captain of the basketball team that beat us for the city championship called me and said, hey, Jerry, how about going to Colorado to a Young Life camp with me? And I wanted to be with Mike McCutcheon. He was later the captain of our university basketball team when we were in the top four in the country. And I said yes. And we went, a group of about 12 of us, and we were a bunch of smart aleck kids, and we took over the camp. I mean, it was ridiculous. And the evening of the roundup where we had the barbecue, the work crew had it up to here with these smart alecks from Seattle, and they decided to brand us during the outside barbecue. And we fought them off. And it was bad. And we were walking up to the cabin where we were going to hear the speaker. And Mike turned to me and he said, Jerry, God will bring something good out of this. And that night, the message was on the cross of Christ and his death for our sins. And I gave my heart to Christ that night. And I said to Mike afterwards, I accepted the Lord tonight. Oh, he said, that's fantastic. He said, do you know what that means? And I said, no, I don't know what that means. He said, well, you get to meet with Jesus at the beginning of every day. And then you get to live with him all day long. I can tell you have come to know Jesus. It is such a privilege to be here and to be with you. I'm going to share about the prayer covenant. And I'm going to ask you to take your card that you had in your bulletin. And you will notice in the upper right-hand corner, following Jesus together. And it's a 40-day commitment. And at the end of my message, I'm going to invite, if you don't have a card, could you put up your hand and we can get more cards there. Wonderful, because we want everyone to have one if you possibly can. Way in the back there. This card is 50 years in the making. 50 years ago, a business leader in Pittsburgh challenged me. He said, Jerry, do you want to follow Jesus as Lord? And I said, yes, I do. And then he said, do you want to follow Jesus as Lord with me? And I said, yes, I do. And then he said, you remember those words in 2 Chronicles 15:12? They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. Do you want to follow Jesus that way with me? And I said, yes. And then he said, are you willing to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life at the beginning of every day? And when you pray that for your life, are you willing to pray that for my life? Jesus be the Lord of Jerry's life. Jesus be the Lord of Don's life at the beginning of every day. I said, yes, I do. And then this was the kicker. This was the tough one. He said to me, are you willing to hold me accountable to that commitment? And are you willing to allow me to hold you accountable to that commitment? And I said, yes and yes. That was in 1949. I'm in a prayer covenant with Mike McCutcheon today. Praise be to God. This works. When Jesus gets a hold of our lives, he is able to sustain us and to bless us and to guide us. And the way you sang, I know you know that. And I'm thrilled to be able to share these thoughts with you. Look at that first line. Dear Father, thank you for your grace that has made me one of your dearly loved children. Dear Father, thank you for your grace that has made me one of your dearly loved children. Now, will you look down six lines to the line of commitment where it says, Jesus, be Lord of my life today in new ways and change me any way you want. In other words, Jesus, I really mean it. I want you to be the Lord, and you're free to change me any way you want. Now, when I first learned the prayer covenant, it was that sixth line, And it was just the first part. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. That's all it was. But that prayer changed my life. It changed my whole ministry. My experience of the presence of Christ deepened. My experience of the love of Christ deepened. My experience of the power of Christ deepened. Now I want to focus back on that first line. Dear Father, thank you for your grace that has made me one of your dearly loved children. Let me just ask you a personal question. And I don't want you to put your hands up. But how many of you believe you are the dearly loved child of God? Yeah. Praise be to God. Because you are his dearly loved children. Listen to Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. That's the way he loves us. Listen to these words from Lamentations chapter 3, verses, I think it's 14 to 16. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Great is thy faithfulness. My favorite passage in the Bible is Ephesians 3. And I start at verse 16 or 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in his love may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. His prayer for the Ephesians, God's prayer through him, is that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. What leads to that? Having Christ in your heart. What builds on that? Knowing the breadth and length and height and depth of how much he loves you. Now, I had been pastoring a long time, and a woman from the church came and visited me. Her name was Doris Trabert. And she said to me, Jerry, I have been basking in the love of God in new ways. And I said, really? And she said, yes. She said, every time I see a cardinal, I'm reminded that God loves me. And so I bought a bird feeder, she told me, and I got the seeds that attract cardinals. And she said, I will see 5, 6, 7 cardinals every day, and every time I see one, I just stop and say, thank you, dear God, for your love. I said, Doris, that's a terrific idea. And so I went and bought a bird feeder. And I bought the seeds that attract cardinals. And I put it outside my office window. And every day, I would see 4, 5, 6, 7 cardinals. And every time I would see a cardinal, I would say, thank you, Lord, for your love. I would be reminded that God was loving me all the time, but this reminded me of his love. Then one day in 1990, my life was profoundly changed. I was up on the hill praying where I usually did. Saw this cardinal way over on the left. It flew across over to a tree on the right, and I thanked God for his love for me. And then it flew to another limb, and I thanked God for his love for me. Another limb, and then to the tree behind me. And then something dawned on me that changed my life forever. And it was this. If God told me he loved me every time he wanted to tell me, it wouldn't be 5 or 6 times a day. It would be all day long. But this I call to mind, and therefore I hope the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And so I decided that morning I was going to, any bird. Any bird, even crows. Yeah. Do you know what's happened in my life since 1990? I have been reminded of the love of God between 25 and 100 times every day without exception since 1990. Now, why is that so significant? Because I had a damaged receiving mechanism. Just like so many of us, we've been wounded, we've been hurt, we've been attacked, we've had people, say bad things about us. We've not made the team. We got grades that we didn't think we deserved. We've been damaged. I gave my life for a number of years in the battle against pornography. And I went out to California where I was to be interviewed on television. And I had never been interviewed on television, so I was nervous about it. I got there early. And the person that was to interview me wasn't there yet. And then about 10 to 15 minutes before the hour of the television interview, she walked through the door. I didn't know it was going to be a she interviewing me on the problem of pornography. And frankly, she was gorgeous. She was drop-dead gorgeous. I lost my concentration. I got through the interview. By the way, she was Miss California. She was not only Miss California, she was Miss California twice. Have you ever heard of that? I've never heard of that. We got through the interview, and she came to me and she said, "My husband and I would like to go to lunch with you and your vice president. Would you be open to that?" And I said, "Oh, yes, we'd love to do that." And we went to the restaurant, and we ordered the food, and then she looked at me across the table, and this is what she said, "Dr. Kirk, I have never known whether anyone loved me." And I said to her, what did you just say? She said, "I have never known whether anyone loved me. My father never held me and never told me he loved me. My husband tells me he loves me. I don't know whether he loves me or he loves my body. My friends tell me they love me, but I don't know whether they love me or they love being seen with me. I have never known whether anyone loved me." She had a damaged receiving mechanism. The Lord didn't love her any less than he loved every one of us. But she had a damaged receiving mechanism. And I learned a lot as a pastor that day, because I realize we all have damaged receiving mechanisms. Now, why is the bird story so important? Because for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of times, I have been reminded by how much God loves me in Jesus Christ. And my receiving mechanism is getting healed. Praise be to God. That I have the privilege of sharing this with you. And my hope is that you will choose a trigger that will remind you of God's love multiple times every day. The reason the blessing is so great is all day long I'm thinking about the love of God for me. And all day long I'm thinking about the love of God through me to you and through us to the world. God loves you infinitely. Infinitely. Now, I'm a Presbyterian pastor. And I've never said to people, I have a word from the Lord personally through me. I've always proclaimed the word of God as the word from the Lord. But I've got a word from the Lord through me to you today. And it is for the whole body of Christ. And the first line is this, and it's on the lips of our Lord. You are more important to me than you think. I don't care how lofty your vision is of who you are. You are more important to the Lord than you think. Now here's the second line. And you may want to write these down because I believe it's from the Lord. Jesus again speaking. I love you much more than you think. I love you much, much more than you think. One more. I love you much, much, much more than you think. And here's the final line. Please hear this. And in the light of this worship service, I am so confident that this is for you as a congregation, as well as individuals. You are more important to me for what I intend to do in your city and in my world than you think. I'm going to say them one more time. My hope is you'll never forget it. You are more important to me than you think. I love you much, much, much more than you think. You are more important to me for what I intend to do in your city and in my world than you think. The implications of what God is doing in this congregation is worldwide. And it's all about Jesus. It's not our adequacy. It's not our giftedness. It's not our life past. It's all about Jesus. I have chosen a fourth life verse. And that fourth life verse is Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. God is about a miracle in this congregation and through it. I'm absolutely, you're going to send me refreshed, not tired, because of the Spirit of the Lord in you. I better look at my notes. I haven't looked at them the whole time. Okay, yeah. Now, one trigger that I use every day, 25 to 50 to 100 times, is the birds. And I've got the bird feeder right outside my office. A second, it was my first life verse, John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Let him come to me and drink. Out of him will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, Jesus has been crucified and glorified now, and we can know that. And the promise of God is rivers of living water, and that's for every person in this sanctuary. I don't care where you are with the Lord. When you make him the Lord of your life, when you believe in him and trust him, the rivers of living water will come forth through your life to those who know you and love you. Our senior pastor, I was just my first year as a pastor. He said to us, "The promise of God is rivers of living water. Isn't it amazing how hard some of us work for just a little trickle?" Yeah. I went out under the stars and I prayed. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what it takes for rivers of living water, but I ask you in Jesus' name, change me any way you want. I want the rivers of living water." The Lord wants that in every person in this sanctuary. Rivers of living water. I bought one of these things, and I keep it handy. And all day long, I'm drinking water, rivers. And every time I drink seven swills. Because God loves me muy, 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 seven times. Let me see if I can make this thing work. One. Two. God loves you. Seven muis. Muy, muy. Muy, muy. Muy, muy, muy. Seven muis. Why have we accepted the lies of the devil that we are worthless? And Jesus says, "I love you much, much, much more than you think. Well, love for God is the result of receiving His love. I can tell you, I love God so much more now than ever in my life. And people ask me, you know, what do you mean when you say you're reminded of God's love? And so I just jotted it down. What it means is that I'm reminded that God loves me, and so I feel appreciated. I feel loved, I feel celebrated, I feel affirmed, I feel blessed, I feel accepted, I feel God's favor, I feel thankful, I feel joy, I feel God's presence, I feel God celebrating me. I struggled with all kinds of feelings of inadequacy as a teenager. I matured late. The guys were talking about girls didn't make any sense to me at all until I got a little older. I feel God celebrating me. Every person in this sanctuary can experience what God's been doing inside of me. Because the love of Christ is with you. And so we love God. We enjoy God. We bless God. And then we love each other. By the way, I've seen that here today. It's wonderful the way you all love each other. And by the way, that's the command of our Lord. What's the great commandment in the law? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so the more you allow God to love you, the more you love yourself, and the more free you are to love others. Now, would you take the card, and we're going to wind up. We focused on line one. Dear Father, thank you for your grace that has made me one of your dearly loved children. Will you all please read that first line with me? Dear Father, thank you for your grace that has made me one of your dearly loved children. Notice that the next line is our love for God. By your grace, make knowing, loving, and obeying you my highest priority. You can only have one highest priority. Is your highest priority your relationship to the Lord, or is it self? We are so tending to promote self, to exalt self, to follow self, to be willful. This is why Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man would come after me, any woman would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, we are to move from receiving God's love onto the offense, to lay hold of Almighty God, to bring the kingdom of God into our world. You are world changers. Do you believe that? You are world changers. And God has something. I'm telling you, look at the next line. Empower me to love others the way you love me. Oh, that love would become a mighty tidal wave within this congregation and then through this congregation to the whole community. Look at the next line. Wash me clean from every sin. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, am I glad to be able to pray that every day. Wash me clean from every sin. Look at the next line. Enable me to praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Wasn't the worship singing this morning wonderful? Enable me to praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. And now we come to the key line. Jesus, be Lord of my life today in new ways and change me any way you want. Now, brothers and sisters, I've talked to your to Jake and to Bob. If you choose to enter into the prayer covenant for 40 days, would they be open to praying for you daily and you praying for them daily? And they said, absolutely. They would be thrilled to do that. And so, in your pews, there's a yellow card. And if you want to enter into this prayer for 40 days at the beginning of every day, and if you want them to pray for you, and if you promise to pray for them daily, that Jesus be the Lord of their lives, then you sign your name and put your phone number on the card and leave it here in the sanctuary up here at the communion table before you leave today. I want you to know, I hope every single one of you will enter into this prayer. Let me say that again. I hope every single one of you will decide you want to follow Jesus as Lord and you want to do it with them. Lockstep, moving out into the future in whatever way the Holy Spirit leads. Look at that next line. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. What if you prayed this prayer every day for 40 days, and what if you believed God to answer it? Can you imagine the change that will come in the fullness and the blessing of the love of God in you and through you? Look at that next line. Make me an instrument of your grace, truth, forgiveness, righteousness, and justice. People want all grace or all truth, and Jesus brings both. Some people want righteousness, and some people want all justice, and you have to have righteousness and justice together. Look at that next line. Use me today for your glory and to invite others to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. Now come to the last line. Gracious Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the last line that came into the prayer covenant. I went to three significant Christian leaders in the nation. Because we had only, I pray in the name of Jesus, amen. And we can do that with power because Jesus has promised if we pray in his name, we have his authority bringing our prayer to the Father. But one of these leaders said, you know, the whole prayer is Trinitarian. You start gracious Father, you focus on Jesus as Lord, and then you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe the last line ought to pull all of that together. And so maybe we pray, and he's just thinking out loud, gracious Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what's happened in my life. I pray that line first and last. And praying it first has made me believe God is answering the other lines of the prayer much more powerfully than before. I don't know whether that will be your experience. Let me close by going back to that word from the Lord. And by the way, don't forget to sign your name and to leave it. And by the way, if you don't feel ready to do that, feel free not to do that. But if you choose, leave that out there. Will you take hands with one another across the aisles? Will you please stand? I'm going to ask you to hold hands because we are the body of Christ. We belong to each other. Could I get in on the goodies up here? You are more important to me than you think. I love you much, much, much more than you think. You are more important to me for what I intend to do in your city and in my world than you think. Gracious Father, thank you for this sacred moment, for these precious brothers and sisters in Christ, for the incredible family of God you have brought together in this place. I ask you, Lord, for the rivers of living water and the blessing of your grace in every life. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said together,
Amen.
Amen.